Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning, folks, and we made it to Friday here on Pod Up Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Today we're going to have JC, and for some reason my Facebook ain't loading. JC will be joining us on the Titanium Hotline, second portion of the show. We're going to be joined by Orlando Sentinel, Florida Gator beat writer Edgar Thompson. Talk a little Gator sports. Yes, my producer is going to have to hack into my computer and fix this. Okay, so first of all, some news and notes. JC, good morning. News and notes from
news and notes.
Campus.
Yep.
Track and fields continues at the SEC Outdoor Championship. Mm-hmm. If you're a lacrosse fan, you know, we're in the NCAA tournament. We host the Mercer Lady Bears today at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And then baseball tonight, 6:30, first game against the Georgia Bulldogs. We need to sweep them to even have any chance of having a chance of
being
just not loading, huh? Do I need to start over, or what do I need to do, Mr. Producer? Oh, you're going to tell me to hold on? Okay. All right, so we got baseball and then softball yesterday. They come from behind once again. They were down 2-0 in about the fifth. Three-run homer by Charlotte Eccles. Another three-run homer by Kendall Lindemann.
That's how you win.
Yeah, but they got to hit the ball better. We didn't pitch great yesterday either, but today's a new day. You got the Missouri Tigers, and the Gators are playing at 4, and after that, you got Alabama and Tennessee. Tennessee upset Arkansas. So that's what's going on around here.
Arkansas's kind of new to all this greatness, right, in softball. this has been the best season they've ever had. So maybe they're a little bit nervous getting here.
You think they're nervous, JC?
Well, you know, look, I mean, if you are as good as they have been all season long, you're expected to go far in the postseason, and they still may.
I had Tim on the other day, and I asked Tim about postseason play in the SEC tournament, and he was about as politically as correct as he could be. He basically – this tournament doesn't mean a whole lot to them. Yeah. Now, they're going to go compete, but as he mentioned, he's thrown girls that have never pitched in college games, game one, but he pitched his normal girls yesterday, but this really means nothing, the SEC tournament.
Yeah.
It's absolutely nothing.
Well, it could mean something for a team that's trying to get in, like a team that hasn't had a great regular season but has a chance, kind of like a bubble team. But Florida's playing for a national seed, and which one are they going to get? And that obviously
they're a top five seed.
Right.
It doesn't matter what happens.
Yeah, I'm sure. But you know, you're going to be a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and I guess that's really not as important. But the thing is that you know, they're going to be everything will come through Gainesville on the way to Oklahoma City, and that's the goal. And certainly winning that to get to Oklahoma City is the goal. And then, of course, doing what you do in Oklahoma City. But Oklahoma's the team to beat, in my mind. I don't think there's any doubt about it. Playing at home in Oklahoma City, I think, is an advantage to them. But, you know, that's down the road. We'll get to that when we get to it. Baseball, on the other hand, I don't know about a national seed for the baseball team in terms of the top eight. They'll obviously host a regional, I would guess. But they'll be in someone else's bracket for the super regional. So does that mean anything? Does that matter? I don't know, but there's a high likelihood that they'll be playing on the road in the SEC somewhere in a super regional, unless they just win out and really you know, maybe win the SEC tournament and slip in if somebody kind of slips up in these postseason conference tournaments. So even though they don't determine what happens with the season, they could determine seeding for the more important regionals and so forth.
I think it's very unlikely – that they are top eight seed. However, They sweep Georgia.
Right.
They sweep the number one team in America, Arkansas, at Arkansas.
Right. Right.
And maybe win one or two games in Hoover. I think they might sneak in there, but a lot of other stuff has to happen. So it's going to be tough, but it doesn't really matter.
There's going up to Arkansas will be a challenge. There's no doubt about that. And Arkansas is a really strong team. So.
Well, Arkansas has to play Tennessee this weekend, which Tennessee's like fourth in the country.
Yeah, they're the surprise team of the league. I don't think there's any question about it.
Speaking with JC on the Titan MR Hotline, we're joined by Edgar Thompson of the Orlando Sentinel on the Titan MR Hotline a little bit later. JC, I don't know if you saw it or not, but sticking with college sports, the NCAA Women's Golf Championship is going on right now. Yeah. They have different regions around the country, and obviously X amount of girls compete, and then you move on to the next round. Well, these dumbasses in Baton Rouge, Louisiana,
they
basically took away those girls' opportunity to continue their golfing careers by saying the course was not in championship playing conditions. However, they announced that they could play the golf course, but it wasn't in championship. Who gives a damn what kind of condition it is? I mean, it was a huge uproar all over Twitter. I do not understand it. Did you get to see when that guy made the announcement to those girls?
I didn't see that, but I mean, it's heartbreaking. It really is. I mean, are they going to reimburse these schools who traveled? I don't know.
I don't know about all that, but my point is
– I know it's heartbreaking for them. Yeah.
It makes no sense at all. It's, again, the NCAA doing a bunch of dumb crap, and I saw where, like, the TPC course out of New Orleans – said, look, we'll host y'all. Now, I don't know if those girls have already traveled back to their campuses or what, but it's just, it's unbelievable that a huge event like this, and they just cancel it.
They just shut it down.
I can't comprehend it at
all. They shut it down. They're very disappointing. Not sure why. I mean, they can say why, but I don't know if that's really the truth. Can't really understand.
They had a lot of rain. The guy said it was playable, but it wasn't in championship caliber
Carpath only. Whatever.
Well, they walk.
I know they walk. I'm just saying, work around it. I mean, what were they afraid that their course was going to get all chopped up? These girls know how to hit the ball. Please.
No, but my point is what he said was it's playable. All these girls and the coaches are sitting there watching this dude on the steps of this clubhouse. Saying that, and you should hear these girls yelling at this dude.
Oh,
and he just turns around and walks away. It was phony. It's unbelievable. It just pisses me off.
Yeah, it's just an opportunity taken away from student athletes. I mean, gosh, haven't these kids have enough taken away from them in the last 18 months? You know, in terms of the college experience, I think I mentioned the other day or saw where students here. You know, on the first day of ticket sales for football, something like 7,000 tickets were sold. And in one day, that's pretty good. They got a lot more to sell, of course. But I also noticed that there were ticket prices shown from the ticket office, if I'm not mistaken. I had a friend of mine look at the Alabama tickets because Florida plays FAU to open the season. They then travel to South Florida before – Alabama and Tennessee come to the Swamp in September. So you got three games in the hottest month of the season, but you got three home games in September here at the Swamp. And I think they want something like 600. When you add up all the costs into a ticket, it's $600 or so to sit in one of the club areas for the Alabama game per ticket. And they'll sell every one of them. They'll sell every one of those.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, I mean, you know, when you're talking about club level, obviously those are going to be a little pricey.
Well, there's a little food and, you know, but I mean, you need shelter when in the middle of September, potentially. but that's going to be the big one. QB, is that South Florida is a home and home? Is that right?
I'm sure. I mean, if we're going to Tampa,
why wouldn't it be? I would think so. Yeah, I think that's good for Florida fans down there, though. They'll fill that Raymond James Stadium. It'll seem like a home game for Florida, I think.
Are you tired of living with chronic joint pain? There are new breakthrough treatments at QC Kinetics here in North Central Florida that not only alleviate your pain, they speed up the healing process. Schedule your free consultation at QC Kinetics 352-400-4550. Speaking with JC on the Titan MR hotline. So I wish you would have seen that video, JC.
I know, you're all worked up.
It irritates the hell out of me.
Well, yeah, it's disappointing. I mean, it's questionable. Why wouldn't they let these girls play on a course? So what? It wasn't in championship condition. Hell, they can play anywhere. You still got to put the ball in the hole. And the one that does it in the fewest shots wins. I don't know why the condition of the course. I mean, maybe they were embarrassed by that, but the weather does have a lot to do with it, right? So if it's playable, just play it. Everybody can say the same thing over and over again to, you know, it sound like you're beating a dead horse. But, these people who make these decisions sometimes, these administrators in the NCAA or in college in general, so I just wonder if they really truly have the kids' best interests at heart. I don't know that. Sometimes I feel like they don't, believe it or not, but they do what's convenient. They do what's easy. And maybe that's not true, but it sure feels that way a lot of times.
Speaking of golf, out at your AT&T Byron Nelson,
man,
it's pitch and putt, goofy golf. I just don't know how people can even watch it when the golf course is this damn easy. You got Jordan Spieth and some dude named Spawn. What's his name? Joseph. I think it's, what is his name? JJ Spawn.
JJ, baby. Yeah.
They both shoot 9 under par yesterday.
Yeah, lighten it up.
Think about that, JC. That was day one. If they shoot 9 under par, they're going to shoot 36 under.
Well, you got to think that they'll do something with the greens and pins, maybe. I don't know.
But this course is wide open. Yeah, you can land 747s on some of these fairways.
Need to grow the rough. They need to grow the rough.
Well, this is the problem I have with the PGA Tour when they have events like this, the golf course is just so easy.
And a lot of tournaments are like this. They are. And certainly the winner will be in the 20s. Yeah. And I would guess the way you change that is you grow the rough. When Luke Donald, who's been absolutely nowhere in the last 2 decades, it seems, is 2 strokes out of the lead, you're inviting everybody to challenge for this for the win here in this tournament. So maybe that's what they're trying to do, is just let everybody go low and just have a real fiesta of birdies. Ted Potter out of Ocala, who plays at the Ocala Country Club, is 6 under. He had a nice little round there working for him. But a lot of these guys who are playing this week, or a lot of guys who aren't playing this week, are getting ready for the PGA Championship, and a lot of guys who are playing this week are trying to, I guess, either qualify or make a little money when some of the big guns are not there. But, Hideki Matsuyama, your Masters champion, 4 under, he's 5 strokes back. So it wasn't that easy for him, QB. It wasn't
I actually picked him. I think my best player this week that I picked, Scottie Scheffler, is 5 under.
Yeah. And Dan Berger, who had a nice win this year, he's only 3 under. So, maybe it was.
He's my guy, too. You just announced all my guys. Where are your guys?
What I'm saying, can I just make a damn point here? I mean, your guys, my guys, I know you got the flag flying with your guys. They're all wearing big, big S's on their shirt for Shane. But look, I mean, so Jordan Spieth shoots 9 under. But Bryson DeChambeau only shot 3 under on the wide open golf course. So it wasn't that easy for him. I mean, he shot 3 under. I expect he goes much lower today.
I told y'all from the get-go, I wasn't on the Bryson DeChambeau bandwagon like everybody was after he played down at Bay Hill.
But you would think a course like this, he could just destroy.
Yeah, but he doesn't know where it's going.
Well, when you land 747s, what does it matter?
I agree. But
okay, so you got a guy who shot 3 under. So it wasn't like Will Zalatoris, everybody's hero at the Masters. He only shot 2 under. Bo Van Pelt only shot 2 under. Jamie Lovemark only shot 2 under. This is a hard course, dude. What are you talking about? Jimmy Walker only shot 2 under.
Harris is anybody over par is my question.
Well, there are guys who are even par. And yes, there are guys who are over par. Let's take a look. Give me JB Holmes. He's +2. David Lingmurth is plus three.
There are only 12 players in the entire field that are over par.
Yeah.
That tells you it's an easy-ass golf course.
Well, it is. But Lee Westwood, only one under. Matt Every, former Gator, one under, or two under, rather. I don't know. I mean, I guess it was easy for many of them, but it wasn't for a lot of others. No, it is. I mean, there's a lot of guys who are, you know, five under or lower, and that's a huge number for a PGA tournament.
JC, I want to get your thoughts because I've had a lot of people text in the last few days, not just on my show, but they text me because they listen to the show and then they send these messages about the name, image, and likeness. I know you're a very opinionated guy. What are your thoughts on the name, image, and likeness?
I think if it's inevitable, it's going to happen. I don't think it's
necessary. Well, no, it's going to happen.
Yeah, and I don't think – you know, until we really see what it does and how it disrupts the normal ebb and flow of things, I guess we won't know. All we can do is assume that the rich are going to get richer, and that you know, the ones in the middle of the road can hope. But this just seems like free agency, and it just seems like when I say free agency, you know, you can get your name, image, and likeness in a place like Ohio State, or you can get it at a place like Baylor, and I think you're gonna be happy either way, but you're gonna get more attention at one over the other. And I don't know if it's about self marketing. I don't know if these kids really deserve all this money. I think it's not a lot of money to begin with, so I don't think it's gonna spoil anything. I just think it's one of those things where you have billions and billions of dollars involved in a business, and the labor doesn't get some of that. Oh, they get food, they get education, they get scholarships, they get this and that, and that's worth a lot. It really is worth a lot. But we're talking billions, not millions here, that are involved in college athletics. And when the labor's not getting what they think to be some sort of reasonable amount of that pot, then you're going to have uproars. And that's what's caused this. QB, I just said that tickets for the Alabama game could be over $600-$700 for a college football game in the middle of September. You know how outrageous that would have been even 10 or 15 years ago? It wouldn't have happened. It never would have been allowed. They never would have been able to sell those tickets. But salaries go up. TV money is massive. And that TV money, the people who are working basically on the field providing this entertainment for us, not the ones standing there calling plays, but the ones who are out there doing it, they want a part of that pot. That TV money is too big not to have some of it flow down to the people working it. So I think
so basically you're saying it's going to be professional sports.
I'd say it's going to start off slow, but it's going to ramp up and pick up as we go. And it'll feel like that. Well, it will. It'll feel like that. But listen, man, I mean, you could say no and just give them scholarships and stuff like that, and you're still going to have the same issues come up. And I think finally once somebody breaks down and Pandora's box is open, you can't close it again. It's like putting toothpaste back in a tube. It's hard. It's hard to deal with. There's just so much more money right now involved in college athletics that it is professional sports damn near. It just feels like it is. It feels like it is. Whether or not you believe it is, I don't care. But when you got these football coaches making $9 million a year as a head coach, and you got assistant coaches making $750,000, assistant coaches making over $1 million a year, $2 million a year, Alabama's defensive coordinators make $2 million a year, yeah, that seems a little out of whack. It seems a little out of whack, QB.
I agree, but you're going to see, you know, Dan's asked here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mellon Law, how can a dirty sport like basketball not get worse with the NIL? When you think about it, that's what all of collegiate athletics are getting ready to be. Everything that's been happening in college basketball, it's all based on the shoe companies paying the players to go to their schools. That's exactly what's getting ready to happen in college football and college every sport. Yeah. Whenever school X says this shoe company or this car dealer or this so-and-so, it will pay you $55,000. Okay. Well, let's see what school B says. You know, it's, and It's going to be a freaking disaster.
Well, you remember when the NCAA would scrutinize these schools for cheating because payers were being played and blah, blah, blah. That'll all go away now. Okay. So, you know, compliance with NCAA. But let's just face it. The NCAA is a one-way street. When we just got done talking about how they screwed up the golfers on the golf course, you know, who's really getting paid here? Well, it's not the players, and it's going to be the players now, because without the players, there is none of this. So I don't know. I kind of see both sides. I see what you're saying with how messy this can be and how sloppy it's going to be, and how controversial it could be. And then I also see the side of the players say, hey, what about us? Yeah, they put us in a dorm, and they give us a couple fun little gifts for the basketball tournament, and then they send us on our damn way. Now, if we're going to provide this billion-dollar entertainment, if we are going to be a part of a billion-dollar industry, flow some of that down. And that's what's going to have to happen now.
That's why it's going to become professional sports.
College basketball is professional sports. You know why? Because of what you just said with the shoes, and because of the fact that it is a feeding ground for the NBA in 1 or 2 years.
But these college kids
don't play college basketball for 4 years, most of them.
Right. But what I'm telling you, though, it's going to be so bad in college athletics, because I'm telling you, the transfer portal and kids being able to get paid for their name, image, and likeness
now. So why do you think they're allowing this to happen, QB? Why is this being allowed?
Because there's all these damn lawsuits and stuff. That's the only reason.
But you might as well make it.
You might as well make it professional sports. Is my point.
And you don't engage in a lawsuit unless you think you can win, because you have to pay for that. And so, if there's a real chance that there is some equality here and that they want to believe that they could win these lawsuits, then the NCAA is going to capitulate. And that's why they knew that they were getting away with it for decades before now.
Okay.
And now
it's let me just ask you this. How will you feel? Let's just go back to last year. Mac Jones, quarterback of Alabama. Let's just say name, image, and likeness is in place. Okay. Let's say Tuscaloosa Ford dealer is paying Mac Jones $50,000, put his damn picture on the billboard, come sign some autographs a couple times a year at our dealership. Okay, has a great year, but still has eligibility left. He's from Jacksonville, Florida. What if Dan Mullen says, you know what? We're going to have Davis Chevrolet pay you $100,000. You transfer to the University of Florida and play quarterback. You don't think he's going to do that?
Oh, welcome. It's called America. Obviously, your dog likes that idea. So I think. Did you hear your dog back there?
Yes, I heard him. But my point is, so that's what you're going to see. You're already going to see players moving around for playing time. You're going to see people moving around being paid.
Well, that's why I was saying the schools like the Baylors of the world in these little towns are going to be at a massive disadvantage. There's just
Baylor's got a lot of money now.
No. I was just – okay, bad example. How about Kansas? Lawrence, Kansas.
Well, nobody wants to go there in the first place unless you're playing basketball.
Okay. So, I mean, they got – so why even have a football program there? So, you know, it almost feels like there's truly going to be the haves and the have-nots, and it almost has gotten to that point anyway, QB. I mean, you know as well as I do, the University of Cincinnati goes into a football season with zero chance to win a title. And same with Central Florida. Same with – some of these other schools. I don't know. I mean, you like Raleigh in the fall, you can go play for NC State, or you can stay in Illinois. Illinois will never win anything in football, but maybe this
it's going to cause problems in your locker room. I'm telling you, it's going to be a disaster.
Well, why do you think they're letting it happen?
Because you're talking about lawsuits and stuff. That's why I'm talking about
everybody's
all that
got
crap
lawyers.
Aside, I'm talking about I've been in locker rooms. I know how people think. I know what it's about. And at the NFL, people try to say, well, the NFL people get paid. They do, but you have a contract. You know what you're slotted to make, whether you're a minimum guy or what your contract's worth. You're going to sit here. But my point is, JC, think about the left tackle or the outside linebacker for your Alabama Crimson Tide is not getting $1 from anybody, and these other skill guys are getting paid tons of money.
Well, we'll see.
It's going to cause team dissension, I'm telling you.
Well, they're going to distribute it somehow, or they're going to take a percentage for the school, and the school's going to pay out the other players, something like that. I mean, the name on the front of the jersey is going to be represented as much or more than the name on the back of the jersey, QB. You know that's the case. And I would tell you this too. Oh, it absolutely will. And I'll tell you another thing is that these players, or these coaches rather, all of these guys making all the money, what do they think about this? What have you heard Nick Saban say about it? What have you heard Kirby Smart say about it? Well, what's Dan Mullen said about it? I haven't heard that. What is any of these guys saying about it? What's Manny Diaz saying about it? They're the ones who are in the middle of it.
Right. And my point is, you better have some big-ass boosters ready to throw money around. Because here's what I'm saying. You're coaching at a school, and you have a kid coming to your school, and you're going to pay him X amount of dollars for whatever. And then another school makes that phone call and says, you know what, we'll double it.
Look, I can tell you that there will the rich will get richer. We all know that's how it works, it seems. And that's kind of what I was beginning to say at the very beginning of this, is that Washington State has no chance against Southern Cal. 0-0-0 in this world. So, and if that's what they want it to be, then that's what it's going to be, because this is their business. And until you hear people like Saban and Mullen
you're talking about the top 10 schools in America. Okay,
right. And then you're going to have guys who coach like the guy at Michigan State, the guy at Kansas State, the guy at North Carolina State. They're going to want representation too. They're going to want to have some sort of disbursement rule or something. There's going to be a cap on what you get paid. There's going to be limits.
I don't know how they can do that.
Why not? Why can't
they? Can't they? They can't put a cap on what's going on under the table right now. How are they going to be able to do that legally?
Okay, you're bringing up a whole different subject in that case. But if you want to do this name, image, and likeness thing above board, you can do anything you want. Obviously, they are doing anything they want because they're about to do this. So you want to cap it? Cap it. You want to have limits? Limits. If you want to say, look, kid, you get 20% of this payout, the school gets 80, guess what the school's going to do with it? They're going to take care of the other kids on the team. So you're worried. Well, of course, how else can you make it happen? If one guy gets all the money and the others don't get anything, of course they're going to spread it out.
I don't think that's the way it works. It can work
any way they want it to work. There's no rule here. We just know that something's going to happen, but we don't know the ins and outs of how it's going to happen. But I am almost positive of one thing. The name on the front of the jersey is going to be represented just as much as the name on the back of the jersey. I do believe that's going to be the case.
Well, I do believe you're going to have a lot of issues. I know that for a fact. Comfort Temp is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. From now until May 31st, get our preventative maintenance plan for $169 and save almost 40% off the normal cost. Also, any maintenance schedule between now and May 31st, you'll be entered to win a Nest thermostat with installation. This day in 2017 at the Players Championship, back when they played in May, 21-year-old South Korean Siwoo Kim shoots a final round 69 to win by 3 over Louis Oosthuizen and Ian Poulter.
Yeah, and then he flew
this day in sports.
And then he got on Delta and flew coach back to Atlanta before he caught the big bird to South Korea. How about that?
Yeah. He wasn't making enough money. He should have been a damn college football player. He could have got it all.
Poor QB. QB, it's terrible, isn't it? I mean, if your timing was just better, you could have gotten paid for this, but you were just 30 years too soon. Damn it.
I still would have a problem with it, JC, because I'm telling you right now, when you're in a locker room, guys are upset about playing time first, okay?
That's coaching issues. I'm not worried about that.
No, but you think about if you have – let's just use last year Florida. Kyle Pitts and Kadarius Toney, both phenomenal players, first round picks. Okay, do you think Kadarius Toney would be pissed off in a bad mood if Kyle Pitts was making $300,000 on endorsements in the Gainesville, North Central Florida area, and Kadarius was only making $50,000? Do you think he'd be pissed off?
Well, we don't know if that's how it's going to work out. We just don't.
How is the center going to make the same amount of money? He ain't.
Well, I don't know about all. I don't know what the distribution is going. We don't know that distribution issues there. We don't know what the distribution issues are. I mean, do you really know who's going to make what? No, you don't. You don't.
I guarantee you the quarterback's going to make the most money.
Well, QB, what happens without a quarterback? Nothing.
I understand that, but we're not talking about professional sports is my point.
Well, look.
In the NFL, the left tackle knows quarterback's going to make the most money. Well, you don't know that in collegiate athletics.
Well, everything that starts new is always going to have some glitches to work out, right? Everything. You get the new phone, you worry about the glitches in the phone. Eventually, it all comes through and works out fine. I don't think this is like putting men on another planet. I don't think it's that difficult. I think, you're dealing with personalities now, but that's what they do every day on football teams. And
yeah,
so
but you're not dealing with personalities when it comes to money.
Well, it's a different story. Right, but these players are having issues with all of these other entities of the sport making all of the money, and they get a bus ride to the stadium. That's what they're having a problem with, and that's why all of this is coming up. When the money gets too big, everybody wants to get their hands on it.
But that's where you take the money from the video games, TV, and whatever, say, okay, University of Florida football team in 2021, mm-hmm. you're going to get $3 million. Mm-hmm. There's 120 kids on the team. I don't give a damn if you're a five-star or a walk-on. We're going to take that $3 million and divide it by 120, and those kids get that amount.
So
I have zero problem with that.
So then why won't that happen? Why do you think that's not?
It will not. It's going to go to the guys that are the starters, and I'm telling you, it's going to be a mess. Anyway, JC, we got to hit the road. Okay. I know hockey playoffs are starting.
Oh, yeah, man. Tampa, Florida.
And then the NBA play-in tournament, which I don't – somebody's got
I don't follow that.
School me on that. I don't quite understand that. Yeah. I got to read one Facebook Live before I let you go, if I could find it here. Dan says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mellon Law, Nick Saban has a Mercedes dealership in Tuscaloosa. Don't tell me nothing shady happens there. Mom and Dad get free cars, and Nick launders his McDonald's bags full of cash.
Yeah, that's hilarious. They'll be here September 18th, and you won't really care about Nick Saban's Mercedes dealership.
JC, you get so worked up when people talk about Nick. It's unbelievable.
He's the best.
Well,
he is
damn good, but I forgot
best. He's the best. I support him. I give money to the association, National Alumni Association. I'm doing my part, QB. Do you do your part?
I do about as much as for Alabama, for Florida, as you do for Alabama.
Oh, you sure about that?
I guarantee you I do more.
Okay. Well, we'll just let that die right there.
All right. So, JC, have a good weekend. Right, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, we'll see you Monday.
All right, we're going to take a time out here. When we come back, we'll be joined on the Titan MR Hotline by Orlando Sentinel's Florida Gator beat writer, Edgar Thompson. You're watching and listening. Pot Up with Matthews and Warner from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. We'll be right back.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Big Mills Cheesesteaks, MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's of Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie Cafe, Chick-fil-A on Archer Road, Avery and Smith, Dowling Signs, Chomp Carter Apparel, Ruse Ogre Agent, State Farm Insurance, Silver Cube Billiards and Sports Bar. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate, with premium brands like Regal Cinemas, Dave & Buster's, Nike, Palmetto Moon, Skechers. Coming summer of 2021, the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill and Visor's Tailgate and Rooftop Bar. We'll see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. We're now going to go to the Titan MR Hotline. We're going to be joined by our good buddy, Edgar Thompson from the Orlando Sentinel. He covers the Florida Gators. Good morning, Edgar. How are you, buddy?
I'm good, Shane. I'm actually en route to King and Bear here to tee it up with Sambo, so it should be fun. Fun day.
Rough life you have there, Edgar. Going to go tee it up today. King and the Bear, good golf course, wide open. So you can spray it a little bit and you'll be okay. You play the Slammer and Squire, which is a shorter course. It's damn harder for me, though. It's so tight.
Yeah, I don't know that any course is easy for me, man. I heard you're a pretty good stick. Yeah, I was up this morning cranking out a Gator basketball story. So I've been up since 5, and I was doing some work so I could clear the deck.
So but Gator basketball.
Mike White was on a steal last night. He was talking about Keontae Johnson, among other things. Still a couple months, few months even, till a final decision on Keontae's playing future, it sounds like.
So you're saying a playing future, just period of playing basketball, or maybe his future here at Florida?
I guess Florida, basketball in general. I mean, Mike didn't specify, but he's still consulting with family and his medical people to decide what the next step is. I'm not going to speculate there. I have no idea what the situation is, but he has not decided whether he will continue playing basketball at Florida or in general, I'm guessing.
Yeah. Let's stick with basketball for a second. What did Mike say about his additions through the transfer portal? You know, I've said that I feel like this team is already a more athletic and a much better basketball team than what they had last year, and they haven't even hit the floor yet. I just think it's the way of the world, transfer portal. What comments did Mike have to say about his new squad?
Yeah, not to self-promote too much, but I wrote a big piece, pretty long, like 2,500-word story this past Sunday on the portal, getting various perspectives from the high school, former players, Roy Williams, some coaches of note. Talked to Scott Strickland about it. It's just the future, or it's the present. I mean, it's what it is now. Ever since this thing came in, athletes want to play. I forget your story exactly, Shane, but you were like fourth or fifth string guy, right?
Correct.
Would you have hung around? I mean, Kyle Trask is like an exception to the rule. Emory Jones has proven to be one, but now with player movement, it's crazy, and particularly in basketball, where the rosters are really small, right? I mean, you might have 8 guys playing regularly, maybe. So guys want theirs. They want to play. And, yes, I do think that the Gators upgraded their roster significantly on paper. I mean, last year, are the guys who left, okay, transferred, the 4 guys they swapped out for, 8 average 19 points, about 6 boards, and about 2 assists. Fleming, the kid from Charleston Southern, alone averaged 27 boards and 2 assists. So then you're bringing in 2 other leading scorers from their team, Myron Jones from Penn State, Brandon McKissick from Missouri, Kansas City, Missouri. And then you have the Felder kid from Boston College, who's a rugged, athletic 6'7 kid who's a shot blocker, runs the floor, rebounds, plays defense. So I like the guys they're bringing in. 3 of them are guards, though, and they're all leading scorers in their team. So here is the issue, and this is the tough thing, is you got to integrate all these guys. You have to create buy-in and chemistry, selflessness, all this stuff. And it's almost like overnight you have to do this. So that is the challenge for coaches, but you can definitely upgrade quickly if you need to, and the Gators did, because a lot of guys left.
Yeah, we got a Facebook Live here. Dan says the 4 kids coming to Florida for basketball were ranked in the ESPN top 100. only two kids leaving Florida were ranked, plus lower ranking. So, yeah, I think they're going to be a much better squad. And, yeah, I was buried like fifth or sixth on the depth chart, depending on which day it was. I did want to transfer. My parents wouldn't let me. I wanted to go to Ole Miss. You know, I tell everybody, because I had multiple scholarship offers, and I know Kyle Trask's story is outstanding, and we are all glad he did not decide to go in the portal, but he really didn't have any opportunities to go anywhere because he had no film and nobody really recruited him out of high school. So, you know, it all worked out. Thank goodness for him. But yeah, the transfer portal, Edgar, you do all these great stories. I got one for you. Since the transfer portal came into existence, somebody needs to do a story on possibly football, because it's a little bit different than basketball. But in football, how many players have entered the transfer portal and are still in the transfer portal? Nobody's giving them opportunity because there's a ton.
Oh, it's legion. I'll tell you. And look at the basketball right now. I mean, as of my story publication, there were 1,500 guys in the portal. It just doesn't add up. Mark Long and I, the AP writer based in Gainesville, does Jags and does a great job at what he does. I mean, he was like, well, it should. I mean, right, if these guys are leaving, then there's spots. But it doesn't, because you got high school recruits coming in. You got JUCOs maybe moving into some spots. But the trickle-down effect is really the thing that hurts. You've been around high school athletes. I mean, you had one. You coached at that level. There are a lot of high school guys that are good players who would have gotten a scholarship offer maybe, or they would have at least gotten the ability to play at maybe a lower level, and it just trickles down. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this guy can't play, fit in there, so he takes this spot that maybe a 17-year-old was going to get, because he's more of a proven commodity, and a coach doesn't want to take a chance on a kid he's got to develop when he sees a guy who already has some experience and some film, as you said earlier. So yeah, that's it's challenging. But you know, you did mention Kyle, Shane, but Emory Jones meanwhile did have a lot of offers. He flipped from Ohio State, four-star kid, Under Armour All-American, top 100 guy, and he stayed put too. And that's pretty amazing. And now his opportunity's here.
Yep. And Chris Doring Mortgage, they do mortgage lending, right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Doring Mortgage today, 352-244-0840. Speaking with Edgar Thompson, you can follow Edgar on Twitter at OS Gators. We have a Facebook Live brought to you by Melton Law here. It comes from Jeff. Jeff says, it's a question. Do you think coaches are, I just said coach was quietly happy that some of the players transferred so that he could pick up new players? I guess he's referring to Coach White, but I agree 100% with that question. It's a way that coaches in their exit meeting, regardless of what sport it is, it's a way that if a kid has not performed the way they thought, maybe it's a kid that they didn't recruit, they can in a nice way say, hey, you know, we got so-and-so and so-and-so coming in at your position. You know, you may want to, if you really want to play, you may need to look elsewhere. We'll do everything as a coaching staff to help you. But it's a way, a nice way for coaches to cut players in college athletics, in my opinion. Edgar, you mentioned Emory Jones. Last week, I believe someone came out with their 2022 mock draft, had him going number six to the in the first round to the Philadelphia Eagles. Does that surprise you at all?
I think it's absurd. I mean, it's not just surprising. I mean, why would that even be a consideration for this guy? I mean, Emory hasn't even played 100 snaps at the college level, I don't think. I think the guy in his story said he played like 95 snaps. Maybe it's more than that. But whatever it is, I don't know what that's based on. I mean, Dan Mullen is a terrific developer of quarterbacks. I know you believe that. I mean, you played the position at the highest level. Dan's got a knack there. But how do we know? I mean, what Emory's going to be able to do yet? I mean, has he really shown the proficiency as a pocket passer yet? I mean, the NFL certainly is changing at that position. The prototype pocket passer isn't like the rage anymore. I mean, Kyle Trask was more of an anomaly than like what you want now. But I mean, we don't know what Emory Jones. You still got to throw the football a lot in the NFL, I guess is what I'm saying. You just don't run. So we got to see a lot more from Emery. I think he's got a lot of talent, a lot of potential. But yeah, number six, come on.
Yeah, I agree. It's pretty bizarre. Edgar, before we get to the name, image, and likeness, I just had a conversation with JC about it. It really bothers me. I'll get your thoughts on it. You're a big golfer. You're heading to King and Bear right now to go play. Did you see what the NCAA did to the women's golfers in Baton Rouge, Louisiana?
Oh, it's been a huge story. It's awful. It just shows a lack of, like, nimbleness by the NCAA. I mean, a lot of people now are turning this into, like, oh, if it was a men's sport, it would have never happened, whether that's true or not. I'm not going there. But look, tournaments, I used to cover some golf. I mean, for the Palm Beach Post for, like, a year and a half, I mean, that was, like, my gig. And I've covered a lot of golf tournaments, man. I mean, TPC, I've covered every year since 10. I remember back in 14, Martin Keimer won it. I mean, we were waiting out a rain delay all day long that third round. It was brutal. And they finally teed off at like 5:30 in the afternoon to get in like four holes or six holes, right? That's what you do with golf tournaments. They called this thing off like 10 in the morning. Mm-hmm. It was just bizarre. I mean, right? You wait all day. It's miserable for the players and the media. But it's like you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait until the course is playable. You figure it out. They screwed over. I don't know who got screwed over, who was a couple strokes out, what player might have had a shot to qualify for the NCAA tournament. I mean, dreams were dashed. It was pretty short-sighted move.
Yeah, it was horrible. Tony wants to know on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mountain Law, who's your prediction for the PGA Championship at Kiowa?
Well, it's funny. I mean, Jordan Spieth is playing some fantastic golf right now, right? I mean, he might be playing as well as anyone in the world, or he is playing as well, maybe better. And he shot 63 yesterday at the Byron Nelson, which is where he debuted 10 years ago or whatever it was as a 16-year-old, or 11 years ago maybe. But he needs that for the fourth leg of the Grand Slam to join, I think, five guys. And, you know, Hogan, Player, Tiger, Nicklaus. I mean, it's like an amazing, and Sarazen, it's an amazing list. So he could do it. That would be awesome. And it'll be a kind of course that maybe suits Jordan because it's going to be windy. It's lengthy. This is going to be a course where maybe the draw plays a role. Right, like a British Open, like if you get a certain draw, you really are luck into it because of weather. So it's going to be an intriguing one for sure. You know, Rory won there by 8 shots in 2012, and he just won last week, so he's got to be among the favorites too.
Yeah. Real quick before we let you go, Edgar, I want to get your thoughts on the name, image, and likeness. It's been a lot of discussion lately. I absolutely hate it. I do believe that the players and the athletes should get some type of money from their jersey sales or what have you, but I just think it's going to be a mess. What do you know about it, and what are your thoughts on it?
Well, it's going to come in on July 1 in Florida, by all accounts, and the NCAA is now suddenly waking up to this reality and trying to get in some legislation shoved in there. I tell you, the NCAA, man, some of the moves they make, you just got to go, what? I mean, who's running the place? And then they extend the guy who actually is, Mark Emmert. It's like, whatever. But anyway, man, it could be a mess for sure. Players these days are getting more than they used to, okay? I'm not saying it's enough. It's fair. Not. I mean, Dan Mullen makes $6 million, and guys, you know, aren't getting much. I mean, there is a real, like, you know, stratification there. But Roy Williams was talking about it the other day. University of North Carolina's new cost of attendance in 2021-2022 is going to be like $2,000 a month. That's pretty significant stipend now, right? You weren't getting any of that, right?
So they're getting they're going to get $2,000 a month?
$2,000 a month, $8,056 every semester, which is a four-month period. Yeah, it's crazy. I need to find an update on what UF gets, because I think UF is right around $4,000 for the whole year. It must be going up. So anyway, maybe it's to combat this on some level. I have no idea. I'm just speculating. But when Roy Williams said that the other day, I was like, what? So the name, image, and likeness certainly could become a real complicated situation for these coaches. It could create issues in the locker room potentially, which I think we discussed right beforehand. Let's say Trent Whittemore, your guy, catches 9 balls against FAU in the first game. Jacob Copeland gets 3 targets, right? Because they're covering him. They're putting more defense, the best defender on him, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe Spurrier's like, hey, you want to come to Gridiron Grill and sign autographs on Tuesday and give you $500? Well, you know, Copeland's suddenly sitting here going, man, I didn't even get any targets. I need the ball next week, right?
Yeah.
So that's just one of many examples that could occur. Emory Jones could get a bunch of money. The guys blocking for him get nothing. I mean, that I don't know all the complexities of it, but that's just simplifying it right there that some are going to get stuff, others aren't. But, you know, it's about time there was a change in this front. Like you said, jersey sales, things like that. Think of what Tim Tebow could have made. I don't know that many on the team would have begrudged him for it because he was such a great player, but still, it can create some tension.
Yeah, those were great examples. It could go game to game. Guys get upset, and as you mentioned, go sign autographs at the mall or whatever, make money, pisses off a teammate. So we shall see. Edgar, good stuff as always. Hit them straight today, my man. Don't lose too many balls out there.
Yeah, I'm going to try. I'm taking some beat-up ones. Thanks, buddy.
All right, that's Edgar Thompson. Join us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline. He's on his way to play King and the Bear over at the World Golf Village. We're going to take our second time out of today's pro, come back, wrap up this Friday edition.
Hey, Gators, this is Coach Steve Spurrier. Hot Up with Matthews in the Morning. We'll be right back after this commercial break.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Tim, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise. G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport. Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Rib Company, Doreen Wiebe Realtor Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Gator Bait Media, Route Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, TB Financial, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Darshakow Insurance. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, visit potupwithshane.com and click the advertise button. Again, thank you to all the great businesses that support the show. If you like what we are doing here, make sure to follow us and support the businesses that support us.
Looking for all type of restaurant people, managers, servers, bartenders, hosts, cooks, dishwashers, bussers. If you think you're good in the restaurant business, then give us a call.
Spurrier's Gridiron Grill job fair is open now through May 15th. All you have to do is go to spurriersdraft.com and fill out an application.
We're looking for the good team members, and we're looking for people with a wonderful attitude that can make Spurrier's Gridiron Grill the best we can possibly be. To apply, go to spurriersdraft.com.
Welcome back to the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Center State Bank is becoming South State Bank. But we still put business first. We understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. South State will still have 4 convenient Alachua County locations. South State Bank, banking forward, member FDIC. I want to thank our man JC for joining us on the Titan Tomorrow Hotline and Edgar Thompson for giving us his time as he travels to King and the Bear to play golf today. You can follow Edgar, does a tremendous job. Follow him on Twitter at OS Gators. Don't forget today, Lady Gators play Missouri. I think it's a 4 p.m. first pitch, probably on SEC Network. And Gator Baseball, big weekend series against the Georgia Bulldogs. Also want to welcome one of our new sponsors, Silverback Concrete. If you have any need for any concrete things, you know, you got to put up a basketball goal, do a patio in your backyard, check them out on their website, silverbackconcrete.co. It's .co, C-O. Also, remember, you can follow us and like us on Facebook, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, many, many more. Mary Ellen says, our sports are being ruined right before our eyes. I think she's referring to the name, image, and likeness. Anyway, today's show is a wrap, brought to you by RapSpot. Be safe out there, folks. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Monday.